Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast where we discuss tips, tricks, and current topics related to all things in the blind and partially sighted community. Now, it is my pleasure to introduce the founder of Blind Beginnings and your host, Sean Marcellet, and whatever co-host is on this week. Now, here's your host, Sean.
Welcome to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and I'm so excited about today's episode. It's an Ask Abby, which is Ask a Blind Beginnings Youth. And I have five youth with me today to answer questions. But our questions are coming from Mrs. Cote's class, which is grade 2 and 3s. And they have prepared a lot of great questions for us. So before we get into these great questions, though, I thought it would be good to have our co-hosts introduce themselves. So first of all, welcome, co-hosts.
Hello, everyone. Thank you.
I'm Ginny, and I am currently a university student. I'm from Aldergrove, BC, and I have been blind since birth, and I have zero vision, so I don't see light and I don't see dark as well.
And I'm Clement. I'm from Vancouver. I also have no vision, and I'm also blind from birth, so I can't see light or dark. And I'm currently doing some freelance English teaching.
I'm Mika. I'm from North Vancouver, British Columbia. I'm also a university student, and I was born with partial sight, which means I can see, specifically for me, I can only see out of one eye, which is my left eye.
Hi guys, I'm Colby. I'm from Trail, and I was born with partial sight, and over the years I've lost it, and now I'm totally blind. I can see some light. I am going to be attending university in September, hopefully.
And my name is Keisha, and I am also a university student, and I live in Kamloops, BC here, and I have a little bit of sight. I have an eye condition that has a really big name called retinitis pigmentosa, and I can see a bit of light and shadow, but like a little bit of color, not too much more than that, though.
All right, so the way we're going to do this is the students are going to come up one at a time and ask their questions, and we already have decided which of our co-hosts is going to answer those questions. So let's get started.
Can you go horseback riding?
Hi. this is Keisha. I was asked to answer this question, and I would say, yes, you can. I have. I used to take riding lessons when I was a little kid, and I still sometimes ride horses to this day. And yeah, it's really fun.
Do you have to do anything differently to ride when you can't see, Keisha?
I'm not the best rider. I know there's some people who have figured out ways to ride like independently without somebody guiding them around on a horse. Usually when I go riding, I will, somebody else will be riding another horse. So like a family member will be riding another horse, and then we will do a thing called ponying where they will give me a rope, basically like a lead rope from their horse to mine. I'll hold on to their rope, or they'll tie the rope to my horse's halter. And then they will guide and then I'll just like that way my horse won't take off or like I'll start going off in a random direction. It just makes sure that we'll stay together and they're able to make sure that they're keeping an eye on the trail and stuff like that. But I know that there are some people who are really good riders who have figured out how to ride by themselves when blind, but I just haven't gotten there yet.
Can you see outlines or what can you see?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and it's kind of complicated to answer because everyone sees completely differently. Some people, for example, when they read, they would read with pen and paper like you guys do, but some also read Braille, which I'll get into later. But a kind of experiment that we could do is get both of your hands and cover your eyes. That's what it's like to be totally blind for some people. If you get one hand and put it over one eye, that's what it's like for some people to have vision out of one eye. If you get your pointer finger and your thumb and make a circle and put it over your eyes, that's what we call tunnel vision, so you can see out of the center. And if you get one finger and hold it in front of your eyes, you can see out of the sides and you can see shapes out of the sides, but not the center. To mimic my vision specifically, if you get your right hand and cover your right eye almost completely to the point where there's a tiny little sliver of light showing, and then if you get your left hand and get one finger and put it on your eye closest to your ear, that so most of your right, if most of your left eye is uncovered, that's kind of how I see.
How can you use a cell phone?
Hi, I'm Colby, and I'm going to answer this. So I use a cell phone. I use what's called VoiceOver. So when I touch my screen with my fingers, the phone will speak it, whatever I'm typing or pressing on, out loud. So then I know what I'm touching, and I can use it that way.
How can you use scissors safely?
Hi, so this is Ginny, and I'm going to be answering this question. Good question, by the way. So when you can't see, using scissors, you have to be a little bit more careful, but you can also feel that there are the parts where you put your fingers in, because those parts have the little holes shaped so that your fingers can go through. And then if your scissors are closed, you can feel that there is the metal part, and that is the part that you cut with. And if you feel scissors closely, the part where you put your fingers in is sometimes mostly is plasticky feeling. And the part that's metal is maybe cooler. It's more of a different feel. So that's how you know what part to hold on to. So when you're cutting with your scissors, you want to, what I usually do is keep my hand beside the blade that's cutting. So not at the front, so I don't cut my hand by accident, on the side. And I'll just cut a straight line. Or sometimes what you can do is, if you fold your paper, there'll be like a little line created where you folded your paper, a crease, and you can actually follow that with your scissors, so you're not really using your hand at all. Hope that answers your question.
Can you play video games?
Well, hello there. That's a great question, and the answer is yes. So there's a lot of games that we can play. So mostly, if we're talking about video games, it's going to be games like fighting games or rhythm games or trivia games, because those have a lot of sound, and especially rhythm games, if they follow music and they follow a pattern, it's very easy for us to pick those up. And there's also some other games that aren't video games, but they are games made by blind people, so they are only played with sound and no graphics. So there's lots of options, and so everybody plays on PC or console or mobile. So the answer is yes, we can definitely play video games.
How do you turn off the lights, or do you use the lights?
So it depends on how much, you know how we were talking earlier about how everybody who is blind or visually impaired has different eyesight levels. So some of us have no vision at all. And some of us can see a little bit, and some of us have, can see anywhere in between. So yeah, some of us do use lights and some of us don't. I think some of us can definitely say that sometimes we don't use lights just because we don't need to. But when you are turning lights on and off, you just memorize where the light switch is, and just make sure that you turn it on or off as needed.
Do you know what time it is to go to bed?
Hi, it's Ginny again. So when you're younger, you know, your parents will tell you, go to bed. So, you know, that it's time to go to bed. But as we get older, you know, we know when we're feeling tired or sleepy. So we know, oh, it's time to go to bed. Or as some people can see, they have vision, they can tell when it's getting darker. But I feel like how most people kind of do this is by looking at the time. So if we can use cell phones, like we talked about before, or our watch or a clock or a computer, then we know what time it is. And, you know, we say, oh, it's probably getting too late. We should probably go to bed. So, yeah, that's how we do it.
How do you get in your house?
So the way I find my house is my house is the third one on the block. So once I cross the street, I can find my way to my house by using my cane, of course, or like Colby said, some people use their dog. And I can find my house because the third one on the block, so I can count three doors, or it's the first one on the block that doesn't have a front gate. So that's also very helpful. And then once I find that, like I said, I find the right key, which can sometimes take a while, depending on how messy my keys are, and I can let myself in.
Can you paint a picture?
Yeah, so that's another really good question. And the answer is yes. I actually love painting and art, and it's something I'm hoping to get into pretty soon over the holidays. And I think I do have some residual vision left, so I do use it to paint, but I think ultimately you don't need vision to paint because I think about how colors make me feel. So when I hear the word yellow, I think happy. And when I hear the word blue, I feel calm. And I love nature paintings because blue for the sky and green for plants, I know those colors go well together and I know they match. I also love finger painting because that's an awesome and, you know, messy way to really express yourself and do art.
How do you take a bath?
All right, this is Keisha again. And so I would say that we take baths the same way that you do. So we just don't look. It's more about just tactile hands, everything like that. But yeah, I would say that it's really not much different than how you would.
How do you use a computer?
Hello, thanks for that question. It's Ginny again. So we use a computer either if you have some vision, you can make your screen bigger so you can see things better. Or in my case, because I can't see anything at all, I use a screen reader. So what that does is it reads everything on the screen to me. So when I'm typing, when I'm looking for a document, it's going to be reading everything on the screen. Now, for typing, because there's just a keyboard, typically a keyboard is laid out the same way. So if you look at a keyboard, and if you feel the F key and the J key, they have a little line or a little bump on them. So that's where I'll start with my fingers, and then I know, oh, the E is a little bit above and to the left of the F, and the R is above and to the right, and the G is to the right of the F. Because all keyboards are designed the same, I'm able to just memorize them.
How do you know if it is safe to sit down?
Safety is very important, and I think, you know, we've all kind of seen the TV trope of someone pulling out a chair for someone and them falling to the ground, and I don't, you know, I want to avoid that happening to me, so I always feel behind me before sitting down, make sure I, like when I'm sitting on a stable, it won't fall over. When I go to places like food courts, like when there's, you know, there might be food or sauce spilt on the chair, I also always clean it beforehand just so I don't get anything on my clothes.
How do you, if you play a sport, how do you arrive at the right time?
Hi, this is Clement again. That's a great question. I love talking about sports, and I love talking about sports that I play, and that other people who are blind and visually impaired can participate in. So I play goalball, which is a Paralympic sport designed for people who are blind or visually impaired. And so the way I know how to get to a place on time is, so Colby already told you guys how to use how we use our phones. And of course, one of the things that we use our phones for is to tell time. So once my coach tells me what the schedule is, I can figure it out. And I can either put it in my calendar or I can memorize it. And then I can figure out how to get to the place on time. So there's sports like goalball and swimming, which some of us here do. And some of us, like me, I do martial arts as well. So for all those things, you know, there's events and stuff like that. And even practice, where we have to figure out how to arrive on time. So our phones help a lot with that.
How do you know what time it is?
Thanks. That's a great question. So there's two things that you can do. So one is, if you're on your, if you have a phone or a computer, you can look at the time on that. Or some watches you can get have tactile markings on them, so that if you feel it, you can tell where the hands are pointing, and you can tell the time that way.
When you are walking, how do you know if there are stairs?
So this is Keisha again. I use a white cane when I travel and walk around. And when I'm traveling, if I'm coming up to a set of stairs, if they're going up, my cane will either hit them, because you have your cane out in front of you, like either tapping back and forth or sweeping back and forth. And so if there's an upstairs coming, it will hit the stairs before you do. And then there's special techniques that you use when you're bringing a cane up a set of stairs. And if you're going up, hitting a set of downstairs, your cane's going to go over the edge, and that's going to tell you that there's either an edge or there's stairs coming up. And when I'm at a place that I'm really familiar with, like my home or the home of my really close friends or family, sometimes I don't actually even use my cane inside, because I'm really pretty comfortable with the place that I'm at. So in this situation, like if I know that there's stairs and I'm coming up to them, I'll walk a little slower and I'll shuffle my feet so that I can feel when the edge of the stairs are coming, instead of going really fast and then going falling down the stairs or going up the stairs. So yeah, you just got to be a little bit extra careful. And yeah.
How do you do your math homework?
Thank you for that question. It's Ginny again. So when I was younger and we had to do addition or subtraction, and the numbers would go on the top and then on the bottom, what I would do is I would have blocks. So there'd be the tens blocks, the ones blocks, the hundreds blocks, same as you guys. But because the blocks are blocks, you can feel them. So I would lay them out. I would write the question out, but just with my blocks. As I got older, I could do math by just writing it down, but my equations wouldn't be written up and down. I would just write them across the page, so left to right, because I could do math in my head at that point. I actually learn a lot by feeling things and visualizing it. So by that, I mean having it right out in front of me and feeling it, whereas doing everything in my head. So what I would also do is there would be tactile graph paper, and I could use that to put equations on if I didn't want to just write them out and do them in my head. There would be this special kind of board which you had Velcro on. So then you could put Braille numbers and Velcro them onto this board, but then also move them around. So I liked that, because then I was actually doing my math, but I could actually see my steps out in front of me. And then for geometry, because you're looking at shapes and things like that, I would have tactile shapes. So a triangle that I could feel, or a circle I could feel, things like that.
Is Braille in English?
So that's another great question. And just as a quick refresher, Braille is basically a code. So it's a bunch of different bumps on a paper, and you can touch them, and the different shapes make different letters or symbols. And there is English Braille. It is called Unified English Braille, but there are also different types of Braille. So Braille is more of a way of reading, not specifically a language. So there's Japanese Braille, there's Arabic Braille, there's French Braille, there's Braille for all different types of languages.
Those were awesome questions. Thanks, you guys. I'm wondering does anybody have any other questions that have come up while they've listened to the answers of these ones?
Yes, there are.
Okay, let's hear them. We've got time.
When somebody texts you, how do you know what it says?
It's Clement again, and that is a great question. And it all kind of relates back to what Colby was saying. So earlier she said that she uses VoiceOver on her phone. And so people who can see will use Zoom, or sometimes they might not need Zoom. They might, to make the text bigger, they might not need it. So sometimes they might just hold the phone really close to their face. Colby uses a VoiceOver. I use an Android phone. So I use something called TalkBack. So when someone texts me, my phone dings and tell me there's a new message, and then I can open it because there's a notification which I can tap on, and then it'll read the text to me. So it's basically the same as the way anybody else will read their text, except that once I open my notifications, instead of reading the text myself, TalkBack reads the text to me.
And also says the person's name who sent it, or phone number if they're not in your phone, right?
Yes.
If you lose your phone, how do you know where it is?
Oh.
Ooh. Who loses their phone a lot here?
I feel like
all of us.
Yeah.
Keisha, why don't you answer that one?
So there's a few ways. Either I will do what you can do with anything that you lose and try to retrace your steps and think about where you were and what you were doing and when you might have lost it and where it could be based on all of those things. Or if my phone is not on silent, I will try to get someone to call it and listen for it and find it in the house, just as a lot of other people do as well. And that's a sighted end of blind thing. Or if I really can't find it anywhere, I might ask for help. Or if it's just somewhere like in my bedroom, like I might just feel around for it with my hands or my feet just to see if maybe I dropped it somewhere.
Can you cook?
Thanks for that question. Yes, we can most definitely cook. So if it's things like making a sandwich, you take out your bread, and then when you're going to put the peanut butter, the butter, the jam on your bread, you can take your knife and you can feel that your bread is a square. So what you do is you take your knife, you go from one end of the square to the other, and then go in like a round square, in a perimeter, and then you go into the middle. So you make sure your entire slice is covered, and then you can put all the stuff that you want in it, and voila, you have a sandwich. But if you're using a stove, what you can do is there are little knobs on the stove, and those, when you turn them, they make your stove either super, super hot, medium, or low. So there's usually an arrow on the knob, and then you have to point the arrow to the number that you want. So some arrows you can actually feel. So if you take your fingertip, or maybe actually your nail, and you feel that, you can feel it. If you can't feel it, maybe you'll put a piece of tape on it. So then you're like, oh, the tape is where the arrow is. And then you remember to the right is maybe medium, and to the top is maybe high. Or if you don't want to do right and left, you can do what we call the clockwise method. Now, this is where you know what a clock looks like. So if your arrow is pointing right to the top, that would be 12 o'clock. Because when you're looking at a clock, 12 o'clock is usually right at the top because the clock is also a circle. And if you're pointing it to the right, it would be 3 o'clock. Because if you're looking at your clock again, the 3 o'clock is on the right side. So now once you've got your stove set to what you want, let's say you want to boil some water because you want to make some macaroni and cheese. What you do is you put your water in, or maybe you want to pop a lid on there so it boils faster. And then once it starts boiling, if you listen very closely, you'll actually hear that it makes bubbling noises. And that's when you know, oh, my water's boiling. It's time to put in my macaroni. Or sometimes if you maybe don't hear the bubbles right away, if you have a lid on your pot, it will start rattling because the pot's kind of shaking. And then you can also know that it's boiling. Another thing some blind people do is put something called a pot minder in their pot. So that's like a little, I would say, ceramic, a little ball. So when your water starts boiling, if you can't really hear the bubbles that well, that thing will just start banging up against the pot. So again, it makes a rattle noise and you can be like, oh, my water's boiling. Yeah, I hope that's helpful.
How do you know who the person is?
Oh, that's a really good question. So sometimes we will recognize people's voices if it's a family member or somebody that we're very close with. Other times, I might say, can you tell me who you are? Or what's your name again? Or who's talking to me? Those are all ways we can find out who's talking to us.
How do you know where you are?
So for me personally, I have some vision, so I can roughly kind of see where I am. There's also apps that I use called such as Seeing AI, which will tell me what's around me if I can't see. I use Google Maps a lot to tell me where I am. Yeah.
If you use lights, how do you know where the light switch is?
So if you use lights, you'll usually know where the light switch is because most light switches are right beside the door of a room. So once you go into a room, you can feel around on the wall and you'll generally be able to feel where the light switch is. Or for a lot of people who can see and so will need light more, they can sometimes just look and find the light switch that way too.
When you're in the grocery store, how do you know what aisle you're going in?
Oh, that's a good one.
So depending on how much sight you have, you might be able to see what number aisle you're in, or you might be just counting based on how many aisles you pass when you're walking a certain way. I personally usually ask for assistance from customer service at the grocery store when I'm shopping, or I will go with a friend or a family member, just because it's quite a bit easier that way. And so those are kind of a few ways of knowing where you are in the grocery store.
And I think this is the last question.
How do you know which street you're on?
The way you can know is a couple different things. So where I live, the streets are actually numbered, which is super nice. So if I know that I'm going to the right, my streets are going to get bigger in number. And it's in order. If I'm going to the left, they might get smaller. But if you don't have numbers on them, like Nika said, you can use your maps. Or if you've been living in a town for a long time, you'll eventually begin to memorize. I'm sure when you guys, you know, are out and about, you can remember, oh, I have to turn left onto this street to go to my house. That's the same thing we do. If we live somewhere long enough, will remember, oh, I have to make a left on Douglas to get to my house, or I have to make a right on Fort to get to my house. So you start to memorize. And we also do something called orientation and mobility. It's a big, big, long name. But what that means is that we will work with someone to learn our neighborhood. So they will come with us and will tell us, hey, this is what's around your area. And then we'll begin to memorize, oh, there's a coffee shop here, or, oh, there's a mall nearby my house. I didn't know that. So you just begin to memorize, and then they can teach you how you get to the mall. And what they will tell you along the way is the names of street that they can see, and eventually you'll begin to know the streets around you. I hope that was helpful.
Well, I think that was the last question. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you. That was fabulous. Thanks, you guys, for those amazing questions.
Great, yeah.
Before we go, can we just have the class say a big thank you to the Limitless podcast?
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
Awesome.
You're so welcome. The best part of my day.
Yes.
Mine, too.
I loved it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Mrs. Cote's class. Have mm-hmm. a good rest of your day.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks again, you guys, for joining me today. This was fabulous. I appreciate you being here to answer those amazing questions.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for letting us help. And if you have a question for our Ask Abby series, please email us at limitless@blindbeginnings.ca. We love these episodes and we are keen to answer more of your questions. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. Please join us again next time.
For more information on Blind Beginnings and its mission to inspire and support children and youth who are blind or partially sighted and their families, visit www.blindbeginnings.ca.